Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin the reading this morning at verse 26 as we go right to the heart of our Christmas story. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. These are the words of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this perfect revelation of your person and your work in the world. Father, you are a mighty God and you do amazing things. We pray that you would encourage our faith this morning as we read this account of this humble, godly young woman who completely submitted herself to you and to your ways with her for the world. This we ask you in Jesus' name, and amen. You may or may not be familiar with the Ave Maria, or the Hail Mary, full of grace. It's I didn't grow up in the Roman Catholic Church, and so it's odd, but every time I read this, the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria, there's a scene in the movie A Bridge Too Far, in which the soldier played by Robert Redford is paddling his boat, his inflatable boat, across this river furiously, and good Roman Catholic that he was, as he paddled, he recited the Ave Maria, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. And so, Hail Mary, and then, so here's the Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay. Now, Roman Catholic errors have made us Protestants a little leery of honoring this amazing woman of God. And I'll point to some of the places that we disagree, these places that we will not go, such as the Immaculate Conception. Most people, when they hear those words or they think of Immaculate Conception, they think that that refers to the virgin birth, but that is not what Roman Catholics mean when they say Immaculate Conception. Another little rabbit trail. When I was down at WSU, I had a guy on my floor that went to school, you know, somewhere down in Georgia, Roman Catholic school, and the name of his high school was Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. He said, which was kind of a bummer at our football games for the chants, you know, for the cheerleaders. Give me an O. O. Okay. 15 minutes later, they would finish there. So, but what is meant by the Immaculate Conception? Well, it is not the virgin birth of Jesus. When Roman Catholics talk about the Immaculate Conception, what they are saying is that Mary as the mother of Jesus, was born, unlike every other woman except for Eve, was brought into this world without sin. Okay, so when they say Immaculate Conception, they're talking about the sinless birth of Mary. So in other words, to be the mother of Jesus and for him to remain pure and undefiled, it was necessary for her to be pure and undefiled. So continuing on then, said, if she was born without sin, then also it was important for her to lead a sinless life, which they contend that they did. It's also interesting that these things were not really set in concrete in the Roman Catholic Church until really began halfway through the 19th century, so in the mid-1800s. So Immaculate Conception, that she lived a sinless life, and that she, at the end of her life, she did not die, but rather was assumed bodily up into heaven like Jesus. And then lastly, that she rules with Jesus in heaven as the Queen of Heaven. She rules, okay, right now, rules in heaven with Jesus as the Queen of Heaven and is a co-mediator, mediatrix because she is feminine. She's a co-mediator with Jesus, okay, receiving the prayers of God's people and then praying on their behalf. Let's go back to the Ave Maria just for a minute here. There's most of the Ave Maria that we can say yes and amen to as Protestants. Hail Mary, full of grace. Well, that's exactly what Elizabeth said to her, so we're not going to disagree with Scripture, not going to disagree with Elizabeth. Okay, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Still, yes and amen. So far, so good. Blessed art thou among women. Okay, so Elizabeth recognizes in Mary that she is uniquely blessed among all women, and we could say, well, yes and amen, the angelic appearance to her, and now this great privilege of carrying in her womb him who would become the Savior of the world. So blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Blessed is this little one that you are carrying in your womb. Absolutely. So far, so good. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Okay. Holy Mary. Are we okay with that? Sure. Okay. Paul addresses the saints in Ephesus, the holy and faithful ones. It was a common way that Paul addressed his introduced his letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, we baptize the children, of at least one believing parent, and affirming with God that they are not unclean, but as Paul says, rather holy. So, holy Mary, okay, so far so good, Mother of God. Now, on this one, we begin to go, oh, whoa there, take it easy. But we go back to the definition of Chalcedon, 451 A.D., which is one of the creeds, one of the definitions that we here at King's Cross Church subscribe to. We believe that they got it right at the definition at that Council of Chalcedon. And in the Council of Chalcedon, the definition of Chalcedon, it says that Mary was indeed the Theotokos, the God-bearer. So we have to remember here that, and this is part of the miracle of Christmas, is that the baby in the manger, one person, Jesus, with two natures, fully God and fully man at the same time. And as the definition of Chalcedon reminds us, okay, fully God, fully man, and these two natures existing in the one person who is Jesus without admixture or confusion. Okay, so Jesus was not a turbocharged man, turbocharged with his divinity, and neither was he less than God because of his humanity. No, he was fully God, fully man, these two natures dwelling in the one person, Jesus, without confusion or admixture. And so that being true, those who met that council at Chalcedon in 451 said, well, then Mary was indeed the God-bearer, okay? She was carrying in her womb, bearing in her womb him who is at the same time fully human and fully God. So, again, so far so good. Holy Mary, yes, Mother of God, sure. And then here's where we start to take exceptions. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. These two statements being a nod to the fact that Mary is right now co-ruling with Jesus as the Queen of Heaven and co-mediator with him, okay, hearing the prayers of God's people and then praying for them to God on their behalf. And to that we say, nope, and not even. There is only one mediator between God and man. The author of Hebrews tells us very clearly, and it isn't Mary, it is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a big nope to those five heirs, but we should not, as they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater, and should instead, as Paul taught us, we read that verse in our prayer of confession this morning, as Paul taught us, to give honor to whom honor is due. Paul tells us that, the author of Hebrews tells us that in that famous chapter that we call the Hall of Faith, that we are to remember the ones who lived their lives faithfully and imitate them in their faithfulness. So this morning, let's take a look at this humble servant of God. I'm going to look at Mary under these four headings: simple, sober, submissive, and spirit-filled. Simple, sober, submissive, and spirit-filled, and really is a wonderful example of these things and a picture, God in His kindness, a picture of what we ought to be as we determine to follow the Lord Jesus. Mary was extraordinary in one regard. There has been only, in history, there's only been one Theotokos, God-bearer, and that is this young Jewish girl. So, very extraordinary in one regard, but very plain, very simple in every other regard, okay? Obviously, again, extraordinary, she carried in her womb, gave birth to the Son of God. That's a one-off. But ordinary, okay, she was, I mean, in her day, just a young Jewish woman, probably about 15 years old when the angel, if you read that last night at your feast, that was actually written by Pastor Yost Nixon, and I love the line in there when he said, and this angel appears and speaks to her and gives her this announcement. She probably dropped something, you know, valuable on the floor. I mean, this was an extraordinary thing. But the picture, okay, about 15 years old, betrothed, but not married. In Mary's day, first century there, you were betrothed. It would take a certificate of divorce to break that betrothal. So the betrothal was very serious, but the wedding had not yet been consummated. There was not a ceremony. There was not a wedding night, but it was binding nonetheless. But again, that would have been absolutely perfectly normal. A young Jewish maid, 15 years old, betrothed but not yet married, living in Nazareth of all places. Later on, one of Jesus' apostles, you know, when they found out that Jesus was from Nazareth, you know, first said, and it's a, everybody quotes this, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So it was a very, if the town was remarkable, it was an unremarkable town. If it was remarkable for anything, it was remarkable for its evil and for its wickedness. Relatively poor and ordinary in the sense that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' She was greatly troubled at the saying to discern what sort of meaning this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So she received grace, okay? And that O favored one is someone who is filled with grace. And so she was someone who needed grace, who needed to be filled with grace. And look at verse 47. So verse 47, I'll pick it up at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my," very important here, "in God my Savior." Mary understood herself as someone who needed a Savior. Mary evidently did not think of herself as someone who had an immaculate conception, born without sin. Mary did not think of herself as someone who had lived every day of her life without sinning, but rather, as she processed this information from the angel and now from Elizabeth, understood, and as she addressed God, she addressed him as God my Savior. So again, very, very simple. Living in Nazareth, relatively poor, a sinner in need of a Savior, one who had received grace, grace is unmerited favor, verse 28, and one who required a Savior, verse 47. And one who was troubled by the angel's appearance and message, okay? And again, this would make her very ordinary. Okay, another indication of her simpleness. If you read through the scriptures, you know, a lot of times we naively, you know, "Oh, wouldn't that be great if an angel showed up? Wouldn't that be great if God spoke to me by an angel coming and delivering a message to me?" Well, if you read your Bible, that was not a wonderful thing when that happened. People very often wound up on their faces before the angel, trembling before the angel. And so Mary, being troubled by the angel's appearance and message, again just said, okay, she was just like the rest of humanity. But if you've read your Bible and the multiple stories of women in distress, think about Sarah, Leah, Samson's mother, Moses' mother, Hannah, Rahab, Tamar, and the Zidonian woman, widow, then you ought, at least metaphorically, be rubbing your hands together in anticipation of what miraculous thing God is about to do. Okay, and in other words, this is a trope. This is a little theme that God uses over and over and over again in Scripture whenever He introduces this woman in distress. There are several reasons for that, but what always follows is some kind of miraculous, wonderful deliverance. So Mary was simple. Secondly, Mary was sober. Mary listened carefully and thoughtfully to the words of the angel. Husbands, I think you'll know what I mean here. There's a difference between listening to your wife and listening to your wife, right? Okay, you can, we husbands can, you know, the airwaves are bouncing off of our ears, and there's, we can say that I hear the noise coming from that direction over there, but it's not really listening. Luke records here, it said, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary was processing the information, the declaration that the angel was giving her very carefully. The word in the original language, dialogizomai, means to bring together different reasons, to reckon up the reasons, to reason, to revolve in one's mind, to deliberate. Mary listened to the words of the angel very, very carefully. I always said to our kids when we were, when they were growing up, and as we sat at the table together, I said, to listen well, listen to the bell, B-E-L, body language, eye contact, and listening questions, okay? Body language, point your body at me, point your shoulders at me, give me your eyes, eye contact, and listening questions, okay? This is what Mary was doing in her interaction with the angel that day. It was a thoughtful interaction with the message that the angel brought. Think about her thought process, something like this, okay? Number one, okay? She's just kind of reviewing these things in her mind, okay? I am a recipient of God's grace, okay? I am a recipient of God's grace. Secondly, according to the angel, okay, the Lord is with you, okay? I'm a recipient of God's grace. Yahweh is with me. Yeah, here comes the but. But I've just been told by this angelic messenger, buckle up for a wild ride. Everything that followed that was buckle up for a wild ride. And that's why, look at verse 30, and that's why the angel follows with, now don't be afraid. Okay? The angel understood the magnitude of the message that he had just declared to Mary. The angel understood that she could probably use a little reassurance at this point, and so he says, okay, now don't be afraid. So Mary listened carefully and thoughtfully to the words of the angels. And here's the angel's message. You will conceive and bear a son. You will call his name Jesus. Names were very, very important back then. The name Jesus means God saves. Okay? Indication here, okay, what this baby is going to do. The angel said, he will be a great king. He will be the son of the Most High. He will sit on David's throne in fulfillment of God's promise to David and of Daniel's prophecy regarding the Son of Man. Okay? The magnitude of this declaration just keeps getting bigger and bigger. You're going to conceive and bear a son. Whoa. You will call his name Jesus. God saves. He will be a great king, sitting on David's throne in fulfillment of God's promise to David and Daniel's prophecy regarding the Son of Man. And referencing Jacob, an implication that Mary's child would fulfill God's promises to the patriarchs as well. The seed of Abraham, through whom all the families of the nations would be blessed. In other words, in this very, very compact declaration, these words of the angels, he's gathering up all of the prophecies and the promises given to God's people in the Old Testament and saying basically to Mary, and all of that is happening right now in your belly. That this little person right now that is growing in your womb is going to be the one that will fulfill all of these promises, all of these prophecies. And so then Mary continues with her sober assessment, her logizomai, with, okay, okay, body language, eye contact, listening questions, okay, follow-up questions, which Mary says, okay, so how, excuse me, I have a question here, how will this be since I am a virgin? Now, it's interesting here because earlier on in Luke's gospel, the angel had addressed the priest Zechariah. and told Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would, in her old age, this formerly barren woman would conceive and give birth to a son who would be John the Baptist. And Zechariah asked a question similar to Mary's here, okay, but we infer from what happened, Zechariah was basically made to be mute for several weeks. And so it was an unbelieving question that he asked. But now when Mary asked this question, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Just like, okay, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but if you could help me fill in a couple of the blanks here, that would be helpful. How, if I have not been with a man, if I have not yet joined myself to my betrothed, Joseph, then how will this be? Again, great listening question, a perfect follow-up for clarification question. A faithful question, not unbelieving, a faithful question by simply asking how. Look at verse 35. The angel answers, well, this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Can you imagine how staggering that statement would be? So she asked a nice little follow-up question. Okay, I haven't been with a man. How's that going to be? Okay, Mary, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The Most High, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. God is so kind, okay? And he knows, we are all just like the man who said to Jesus, you know, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And God in his kindness, okay, put these words in the angel's mouth to say, okay, understand something here. Your formerly barren cousin Elizabeth is with child in her old age, okay? So Mary, I understand, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Well, here's something just slightly less miraculous than what's happening in your womb right now. Your cousin Elizabeth is with child. Then it's interesting that Mary, almost immediately after this, you know, picks up and goes to be with Elizabeth, I mean, to see if these things are really so. So the angel concludes with the reminder that nothing is impossible with God. So Mary, simple, ordinary, Mary, sober, okay, in the way that she interacted with the angel, receiving his declarations, great follow-up questions, and submitting herself to this, which takes us to the third thing, submissive. Mary must have continued her sober assessment, her dialogizomai, something like, okay, everything the angel just told me, humanly speaking, is utterly and entirely impossible. But, review, right? Yahweh is with me. He has extended his grace to me, and God loves to fulfill his promises to his people, and indeed always has fulfilled his promises to his people. And then says, well, I am the bond slave of Yahweh. So just a quick review here, okay? God's been gracious to me. God is with me. Yahweh is with me. And he loves to fulfill his promises to his people, and indeed has always fulfilled his promises to his people. And I am just simply the bond slave of Yahweh. But she was also probably considering, as we all should, the cost of the angel's message. The cost of the angel's message. Okay? First of all, top of the list, loss of reputation in the shame and honor culture of Nazareth. Okay? Honor was everything to those first century Jews. And so for her now to be found with child, before she had been married to her betrothed, Joseph, to be found with child would be... It's difficult for us to even conceive today. I mean, today, it's almost no shame. But for Mary, it would have been the ultimate shame, the loss of reputation and the shame and honor culture of Nazareth. Secondly, the loss of her betrothed, Joseph. Mary knew that she had a good man. Joseph was a good man. But we're told explicitly in the Gospels that after Joseph found this out, his first impulse was to put Mary away. And he could, again, it would take basically a certificate of divorce, but he would be able to do that once she was found with child. And so Mary says, okay, that this in one regard is wonderful news, but in another regard, it is going to be a loss of reputation, a great shame, and a loss of my betrothed, Joseph. And a loss of her betrothed, Joseph, would be a loss of worldly security and a loss of wedded happiness. And it could be the loss of her life as well. This would be a rare, but not out of the realm of possibility in Mary's day. But then look, at the end of her faithful ruminations, what does Mary say? Okay, momentous news here. You are carrying the one in your womb right now who will sit on David's throne. The fulfillment of every promise and prophecy that God has given to date, this little one that is growing in your womb right now. And this may be the loss of reputation, the loss of your betrothed, the loss of your life. And what is Mary's response to the angel? Let it be to me according to your word. The very picture of godly submissiveness. And lastly, Spirit-filled. To be filled with the Spirit of God is to be filled with the Word of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God is to be filled with the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." Okay? So you're to be filled with the Spirit of God, okay? Don't be drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word of God. To be filled with the Word of God is to be filled with the Spirit. Mary's Magnificat is ample proof that she was a Spirit-filled young woman of Israel. It's clear that Mary's young heart and mind were already thoroughly saturated with the Word of God. She included not only echoes of two of Hannah's prayers in 1 Samuel, but also of several other allusions to the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Mary did not invent her Magnificat out of whole cloth. Okay. Mary was a young woman whose heart was filled, we could say filled to overflowing, with God's Word. And because Mary's mind and soul were Word-saturated, she had the theological categories, and perhaps more importantly, the theological vocabulary to properly respond to what God had revealed to her regarding His plans for her. This is why we read the Word of God. This is why we sing the Word of God, so that we have the vocabulary, not just the theological categories, but so that we have the theological vocabulary to respond to what God is saying to us, and that's exactly what happens in Mary's case. She understood what this baby in her womb was all about. Okay? Holy warfare to accomplish a salvation that was, verse 49, personal, verse 54, national, verse 50, generational. I think I didn't write this down in my notes here, but I believe, going back to her Magnificat just for a moment, I believe that in 10 verses there are 20 either quotations or allusions to verses that we find in the Psalms, okay? So again, Mary was a young woman, even at 15, whose heart and soul were saturated with the Word of God and therefore possessed the vocabulary to be able to properly respond to what God had revealed. And what He had revealed, this little baby in her womb, Okay? It was going to be holy warfare to accomplish a salvation that was personal. As she said, look at verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Okay? And holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. So personal, generational. Look at verse 52. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Mary understood by faith that the warfare that this one that she carried was going to engage in would result in a salvation, again, that was personal for her, national, and generational. A few words of application. So we have in Mary a wonderful example of how to respond to angelic revelations of God's plans for us, which prompts the question, have you ever been addressed by an angel of God? Now, in the Bible, angels are sometimes they are heavenly messengers. This is the case in this angel that appeared to Mary, the angel Gabriel. But the same word in the Greek is used to describe both, sometimes angelic messengers and sometimes earthly messengers. In other words, John the Baptist is described as an angel, the same word to use to describe Gabriel. So an angel is simply one who brings a message from the Most High God. And that being true, at least once a week you are addressed by angels in this assembly, where God's word is brought to you in the reading and the singing and the praying and the preaching of God's word. So here's the question. How should you respond? Okay? Simply, okay, recognizing that God delights to address, equip, and send the coarse, the weak, and ignorant to do his work on earth. Okay? Take a look around here. I get to look at your faces every Sunday morning, but you need to spend more time looking at each other here. Okay, this. No offense, but this is a motley crew. Okay, and you know that you are a sheep who loves to wander. You know how weak you are. You know, and you could tell. You could make a list of all the gifts that you don't have, and maybe that tiny little list of gifts or abilities that you do possibly have. And guess what? Okay? And we see this in Mary. You are the exact kind of persons that God loves to use to accomplish his purposes here on earth. You know why? Because end of the day, if any good thing is done through you individually, if anything good thing is done through us corporately here at King's Cross Church, anybody who knows you, anybody who knows us, is going to have to give all praise and glory and honor to God. He's going to say, these people, are you serious? Yeah. Seriously, God loves to use the broken, the weak, the wounded, the simple to put his glory on display. So we should respond simply, soberly, okay, actively listening, expecting God to speak to you at some or all points of our gathering in the Lord's presence. We decided long ago to make sure that every gathering here on Sunday morning was filled to overflowing with God's word. God's word is read to you. God's word is sung to you. God's word is preached to you. And you probably notice it week after week how biblical our prayers of thanksgiving are as these men think about the word of God as Mary did and then compose these prayers that use the language of the scripture to offer back to God praise and thanksgiving. And every time God's word is read and sung and preached to you, okay, an angel of God is speaking to you, revealing his ways, his purposes to you. And so we should respond as Mary did, simply and soberly, and thirdly, submissively. Just like Abraham, Mary, countless other Christians, writing out a blank check to God, counting the cost of following Jesus and agreeing to go wherever he leads. The angel comes and, okay, Mary, this little one that you carry is going to be the fulfillment of all the promises and all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and he's going to engage in holy warfare. And Mary, okay, just one short little follow-up question, and then basically, okay, You know what I'm talking about, writing out a blank check? So Mary writes out the check, okay? Doesn't fill in the amount, okay? Signs her name, puts a date on it, and says, okay, you write in the amount. May it be to me as you have said, Lord. If we are listening to the word of God spoken to us as from angels, okay, we need to be ready to do that as well, to say, okay, God, I understand what you're saying, but I also understand that if I put into practice, if I do what you have said for me to do here this morning, that's going to take me in some really scary places. Beloved, write out the check, okay? Sign it, put the date on it, don't fill in the amount, and be ready, as Mary was, to go wherever God would have you go. Spirit-filled, connecting new revelations with old and praising God with the language, categories, and vocabulary that He has given you. Again, Mary, although she did not know all the particulars of what the baby in her womb would do and accomplish with his life and death, she knew that a great battle was about to commence and that her son would ultimately be the victor in that battle, securing blessings for her, for Israel, and as she said, for countless generations to come. And it is this great victory that we celebrate here every Sunday morning at King's Cross Church, as we recall, sing, meditate upon, and pray about the great victory that Jesus secured in His death, resurrection, and exaltation to the right hand of the Father, from where He continues to subdue all His and our enemies beneath His feet, turning His enemies into His friends, and forming them into the place where God the Father is worshipped and glorified. Mary, think about this. Okay, Mary believed these things. Okay, she believed them as she was, again, taking all the prophecies and promises in the Old Testament. She believed these things about this little one in her womb before they happened. God calls us to believe them, and indeed to stake our lives, our very lives on them after they happened, after they were recorded, and after they were handed down to us in God's most holy word. Mary was favored because she believed God's testimony. And so are all who follow the example of this young maiden, saying with her, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And amen.